May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated, and as you are, tell the person next to you that God loves you and so do I. I think it was Louis Armstrong that first recorded What a Wonderful World in 1967. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Some of you have your eyes closed and you're singing it in your head right now. Well, today is World Communion Sunday, and there's this scandalous prayer that we pray each time we gather around the Lord's table. And we pray this: by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, make us one with each other, and make us one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. All the world. Now, the world is a big place. The latest census calculations from the United Nations estimate that the world's population is 7.3 billion people. China and India and the United States, Indonesia and Brazil are the top five countries with the highest populations, with, yes, the Vatican being the smallest country with 800 residents. It is currently believed that between 700,000 and 1 million species live in the world's oceans, and that there are 8.7 million species of animals, aquatic and plant life, around the globe. Astronomers estimate that there are 100 billion stars in the universe, my friends. We have a great and creative God, don't we? The world is a big place. God, who set the stars in orbit, also makes the tides ebb and flow, the bulb of the spring bloom shine for all to see. God makes the sun rise and the sunset. The heavens declare his glory. As I came this morning to the church, I had to stop on the bridge and get out of my truck and take pictures of the sun rising and the heavens declaring the glory of God. And with all this said, at times our world can seem so small. Our feelings can influence us to say that there is no hope, that it's the worst it's ever been. There are times when I wish I could change the prayer in the liturgy. It can be difficult to pray a prayer that is so all-encompassing, one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world. Especially when just this week we've had another mass shooting at a college in this country. Innocent lives were lost. Some say that they were even targeted because they were Christians here in the United States of America. In between the deadly shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012 and the shooting at Umpqua Community College this past week, there have been 72 other school shootings in this country. And as followers of Christ, having been baptized into the Christian family, we are wired in a way that we feel these injustices. All who proclaim Jesus as Lord our brothers and sisters in His name. We want our world to not be this way. We just can't turn our faces away and act like these things are not happening. I was pretty sheltered and immune to these feelings until I was appointed to a church in the greater Miami metropolitan area. And after about a year of living there, Joy and I had to turn off the news because it was shootings and crime every single day. And while many other pastors and churches in the area were immune to this, while they focused on the latest sermon series and pop culture church performances, much like a modern-day Louis Armstrong concert, I always tended to feel these injustices. I tended to long for a day when things would be better, when things would be made right. Saying, well, God has a plan, wasn't good enough. And that's easy to say until it hits home, isn't it? Buried in all of us are feelings. How often do we hear someone say they feel this way or they feel that way? We see someone with a melancholy face, we ask them, how do you feel? These are words that we use all the time. Our feelings can take us up and our feelings can take us down. They can take us all around. As a follower of Christ, I've been reminded more than I want to admit to myself that I cannot trust my feelings that often. There's typically more to a story. There are parts of my story that I often forget that influence me. And really, it's not about the way I feel. So no matter how I might feel or we might feel about the injustices taking place around us, the Christian faith is the answer to the injustices in our world. Even when we don't think of it, even when we don't admit it, the writer of 1 Corinthians was conveying when he said that there is one bread, one body, and one Lord of all, that Jesus Christ is the answer. World Communion Sunday serves as a celebration and as a reminder that we are not alone, that God's grace is wider and deeper than shootings and than crime and deceit. And yes, even the word that we don't like to say that often, sin. The sin of personal dimensions, the sin of organizational and communal dimensions. There is one bread, one body, one Lord of all. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the Word that was made flesh that dwells among us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the lighthouse that leads us to the way of salvation. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is our hope. God's plan is Jesus Christ. And God knows the world is broken and is in need of redemption because He lived here. We read in the Gospel of John that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but He sent Him into the world so that the world might be saved through Him. I'm glad to know that God knows me best and knows us best. God loves us above all. God's love is so vast that in the immeasurability of the populations of the world, in the diversities of animal and plant life, in the depths of the ocean, in the vastness of the universe, in the pain of injustice, that he came and dwelled among us and alongside us, experiencing the feelings that we experience, seeing with human eyes the needs of this world, and using his own hands and his own feet to redeem it. In the face of sin, God in Christ was executed, taken to the cross, the brokenness of all of creation, standing in our place, taking our sin upon himself, being faithful to us even when we denied him. Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." As followers of Christ, we are invited to see hope in the midst of despair. And this hope isn't just for us. It's for the whole world. This hope is for all of creation, for the world. And this hope is found in one bread, one body, and one Lord of all, Jesus Christ. Psalm 133 speaks of Mount Hermon. And the dew on this mountain liquefies and it flows off the mountainside into the streams that feed the Jordan River, which then gives fresh water to drink for the people. When we are unified in our faith and in the mission of Jesus Christ, we can't be anything but what God wants us to be. The bread, the body, feeding and nourishing the world with God's grace, offering living water that gives life to people who seem to have no hope. We have the opportunity to proclaim that evil and injustice and wickedness does not have the last word. We recognize that God does not cause these things, but leads us to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the midst of it, bringing hope, healing the wounded, and ushering in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. There is hope, and we have hope. I was reminded of the promises of Isaiah 11 that say, "One day the wolf will lie down with the lamb, that the kingdom of God will come upon the earth as it is in heaven, and that there will be eternal and everlasting peace." So we have work to do. Saint Teresa penned this prayer generations ago. "Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion is to look out upon the earth. Yours are the feet by which he is to go about doing good, and yours are the hands by which he is to bless us now." On this day, as we celebrate this holy and unifying mystery around this table, may we be unified to proclaim the message that Jesus is Lord to Boca Grande and to the whole world, no matter how we feel. Jesus, the bread of heaven, is come to us. Let us remember who we are and what unites us. May we melt like the dew of Mount Hermon and flow together in watering a dry and a thirsty land. It's World Communion Sunday. Christ calls us to influence and change the world with God's love. It's not based on our feelings. It is the commission that we have been given. It's a good direction for us to go. I've tried going in many other different directions, and they always lead to a dead end. But this direction of the gospel is so powerful that it makes us one in ministry to each other and to the world. Perhaps that prayer isn't too bold of a prayer to pray. We will never change the world by going to church. We will change the world by being the church. And our commission this week is very simple. Let's change the world with the gospel. You aren't too old. You aren't too crabby. You aren't too sick. You aren't too broken. You aren't beyond redemption. It doesn't matter how you feel. You are the bright and shining and glorious church of Jesus Christ. So remind yourself, what a wonderful world. Alleluia. Amen.